Hashtag vampire president. President Trump might be the first vampire president, thanks to COVID-19. When the president started coughing and sneezing on October 1st, he was rushed to the Walter Reed National Military Center, where his doctors pumped him full of all sorts of drugs. When he had trouble breathing, he was given supplemental oxygen. And when the virus started to inflame his organs, he was given the steroid dexamethasone. This probably stabilized his condition for a while. And then he received doses of other things, starting with famotidine, also known as Pepcid, which probably settled his stomach so he could take more medicines, and then zinc, which might have improved his immune response, and then melatonin, a hormone that might have helped him sleep better, and then aspirin, maybe to break his fever or maybe to prevent blood clots, and to end the first round of meds, vitamin D, the sunshine drug. Now, most of these medicines have been around a long time, and they would have had minimal effect on Trump's fight against COVID-19. Oh, and by the way, as an aside, you might notice that the doctors didn't mention hydrochloroquine. Wasn't Trump taking that to stop him from getting COVID-19? Well, maybe the doctors quietly took the chloroquine pills out of his shaving kit and dumped them in the trash when he wasn't looking. Anyway, back to the therapy. After the early round of light drugs, Trump's condition did not improve, so his doctors gave him more oxygen and more steroids. At this point, we don't exactly know how the president was doing. But we can guess he wasn't doing very well, because the doctors decided to resort to remdesivir, a rare antiviral drug approved by the Food and Drug Administration only for emergency use. Remdesivir has a lot of promise that it has never lived up to. It may not be safe, it's expensive, and it's not widely available. Basically, if you don't have access to top-flight healthcare, you may not get access to this drug. And if you're outside the USA, your chances of getting it are minimal because the US government bought up most of the supplies. Remdesivir is a hepatitis C drug owned by a California company called Gilead Sciences. It had disappointing results on Hep C, so it was shelved for a while until Ebola came along, and then doctors decided to give it another try. It didn't work very well against Ebola either. Not only was it ineffective, it had some nasty side effects, including respiratory impairment, reduced blood counts, and worst of all, liver damage. We just don't know if remdesivir is safe yet. But based on limited data, it does seem to be helping some COVID-19 patients these days. So Trump took it as an injection on October 2nd. That the president would play the role of guinea pig by taking remdesivir is remarkable on its own. But the reason I feel the need to add this supplemental commentary to the podcast is because President Trump also took another experimental medicine, one that doesn't yet have a fancy name. He took an antibody cocktail called Regen-CoV-2, Regen-CoV-2. It's kind of a clumsy name. I'm sure they're going to come up with something better soon. Anyway, it's made up of cloned immune cells. It's called a cocktail because it's a combination of two antibodies that attack the receptor budding domain of the virus, known as angiotensin converting enzyme 2, or the part that attaches on to the human cells. The first antibody is a B cell that was harvested from a person who recovered from SARS-CoV-2. And when we say harvested, we don't know exactly what that means yet. Was it bought from the person? Did they sign it away for free healthcare? We just don't know. Anyway, that antibody was sequenced and cloned by the millions. And other antibodies in that cocktail came from a mouse. Yeah, a mouse. A kind of Franken-mouse. One that was engineered to have a partly human immune system. Now, the premise behind this sort of drug makes perfect sense. Take from others what helped others to fight COVID-19. This is an idea that's been around since Karl Landsteiner discovered blood types back in 1901, and when blood transfusion started to be perfected in the 20th century. Now, more recently, we've seen companies popping up that sell plasma, things like plasma of teenagers, for example, to older people to boost their immune systems and probably to boost their verve. The blood business has always been a big business, and it seems that it might be reaching a new level. Anyway, the convalescent plasma treatment that Trump took was likely a big boost to his immunity. But the problem that can crop up if you don't get the antibody mix right is that plasma injections can spur what's called antibody-dependent enhancement. That means that rather than killing off viruses, an antibody cocktail can actually help them attach to your cells. Now, that didn't seem to happen in Trump's case, at least not that we can see. In fact, Trump probably took the cocktail as soon as he could because he had pressured the Food and Drug Administration to approve it several months before, despite being an unproven therapy and despite much pushback from reputable scientists at the National Institutes of Health. Taking the antibodies was, for Trump, as much a political move as a medical move. Oh, and as an aside, the company that happened to have made that antibody therapy was Regeneron, which is led by CEO Leonard Schleifer, who is Trump's golfing buddy. But what Leonard probably didn't tell Donald is that Regeneron's antibody cocktail is made out of a substance that President Trump has been trying to ban from medical use throughout his term. And that substance is antibodies from an aborted fetus, not one that died from COVID-19, but human embryonic stem cells from a child aborted in the Netherlands in 1972. Now, this won't surprise any bioengineer because cells harvested decades ago are still used as clones. The particular group swirling around Trump's system is the HEK-293 cell line. And if the president doesn't know this, someone should probably tell him. So what does the story of President Trump's fight against COVID-19 tell us about our relationship with pandemics? Well, unfortunately, it's mostly the same old news that we got out of the other podcasts. The president's access to unlimited medical resources shows that not everyone is created equal during a pandemic. Those who hold keys to the public health treasury will usually help themselves to the necessary therapies before they give them out to the masses. Thousands of Americans have already died without access to the injections that Trump was lucky enough to get. All that mostly goes without saying, but there are two other very interesting developments that have also occurred during Trump's therapy. The first is that we now see how all ethical guidelines are thrown out the window when doctors treat a president. To make sure the president stayed healthy, they didn't wait till he was in intensive care. They immediately reached for two experimental treatments, knowing full well that there might be side effects as well as ethical quandaries. If you think about it, treating the president is an experimental therapist's dream come true. Why bother exploiting prisoners or villagers when you can do whatever you want to the most important political leader in the world just to keep them alive? Secondly, and most importantly, Trump's antibody injection makes him the first vampire president. Flowing through his veins right now is the borrowed blood of both human and mouse Americans. He should probably call up the person who provided those antibodies to him and thank them. He probably won't. And as for the mouse, no need to thank the mouse. It's almost certainly dead by now. The scientists have probably chunked its brain already and are already looking at its samples. The takeaway here is that Donald J. Trump now lives on the blood of others, human and mouse, and to beat the vampire pandemic, he had to become a vampire himself. Now, this vampire status is temporary, of course, unless they keep him on that antibody cocktail forever. Like pandemics in the past, our relationship with COVID-19 is deepening and becoming more and more twisted as it continues. When the enemy, the sinister virus, almost killed off the president, and then ripped through the White House, infecting his staff and family, you'd think that the leader of the country would ask his citizens to rally together to fight back against the disease. But he didn't. Instead, he brushed it off. He brazenly took off his mask and told us not to be afraid of the virus, even though few of us could ever dream about receiving the type of medical care that he had. Which makes you wonder, has the president been compromised? Was that him talking? Was it Putin? Was it the antibodies? Was it the mouse? Or was it COVID-19?